Welcome back to the latest episode of the HSC Network podcast, where we bring you the latest thought-leading content on all things health and safety. In this episode, we have a very special guest. Paul Clark will be interviewing Teresa Higgins of Barber EHS. The interview covers the future of health and safety and also what you can do to safeguard workers in lockdown. So I'll now hand over to Paul to start the interview.
Hi Teresa, my name's Paul Clark and I'm the director and owner of HSC Network and HSC Network podcast, and I'm really delighted today to be given the opportunity to interview Barber. Now, Teresa Higgins is the brand director of Barber EHS, a very special guest, somebody in which I've met a few times at events over the past couple of years, namely the SHE Expo, and had the pleasure of having sharing a coffee with you. But now we can't do that physically, we're having to do it virtually. So I'm sure we'll make this work.
Let's hope so.
Absolutely. Just to give our readers, our viewers and our audience at HSC Network, because we've got around 5,300 senior directors, managers, business leaders of health and safety that engage in the podcast, that receive our email blasts, and of course use the network as a means to engaging with content at this time, especially more so now than ever during numerous lockdowns. To give our audience a bit of a taste of who Barber are, and Barber EHS offers 7 products across health and safety, environment and energy, estates and facilities management, international service, supplementary modules and e-learning. But Barber are one of the oldest and best known providers of specialist information services to industry professionals. Their main aims are to provide professionals with the information that they need to do the best job for their customers. So some of the solutions that you guys includes certification gap analysis tools, system support, and an additional of the technical guides, forms and checklist tools to aid the auditing process of proof of compliance, which I know is a huge area of focus for a number of my customers at the moment, let alone our network. So in today's episode, we're going to take a look at the future of health and safety into 2021. Seems like a long way away, but and I'm sure can't come soon enough given our current situation. But we're going to look beyond that as well, and we're going to look at ways in which we can support. So Teresa, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Paul.
You're welcome. I guess question one, so we've been talking with our editorial team. We've used our advisory council as well to help shape some of the questions for this interview. The main, I guess, entry question, the way that I would like to kick this interview off, is looking at the current situation. Let's stare the lockdown in the face a little bit and look at the way in which we're home working. And is that set to continue? How can we give, I guess, from your perspective, Teresa, managers, the tools to support those working within and outside the workforce in 2021?
Well, there's two main areas, Paul, to be fair. The main tool to start with has got to be keeping up to date with the changes in legislation. There has been over 200 pieces of information coming out since COVID. It's been an absolute nightmare for professionals to try and keep up to date. Legislation is always difficult to find out what's changed, and there's been an awful lot of guidance. HSC, Public Health England have been brilliant. So first and foremost, the tools that you need are keeping up to date with best practice, trying to look at webinars and things like that. What's happening? How are other professionals managing it? And staying on top, keeping yourself compliant, knowing what's coming out is got to be first and foremost. However, then it's interpreting that legislation and making it work for your business, because people's biggest fear is change, and communicating the changes, your rules and regulations out to the workforce and keeping them happy with what's happening has got to be a professional's key challenge at the moment. So first and foremost, it's what's coming out. Oh my God, it's changing daily with face masks and regions. You know, Scotland's different to England. I've had lots of my clients saying, how do I manage with putting up notice boards? Do I have to put the differences in every region? And the answer is yeah, you do, unfortunately. But then the home working, and you've got people that are nervous. They're in a situation where they haven't been before. They're being asked to go back to work. They could be shielding. So I think the biggest tool now is communicating with the staff. The bigger the companies, the more people there are, and the managers think that, I think, have to be trained then to ask questions, perhaps ask open questions. Don't wait for somebody to come to you if they're struggling. I think it's regular contact. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, Paul, to be fair, but I think I know for me, my team have been working from home for 6 years. That we were always working from home globally as a company anyway before COVID. And it has been really making sure that we all stay in touch. We all make sure we're all okay, motivating, set clear KPIs. If somebody's struggling, just ask open questions and keep in regular contact. If somebody's attitude is changing, just ask one of the managers to reach out to them and support material. I've been asked by a lot of my clients to provide support material like topic of the month. If they've reached out with somebody, there is an issue, we've written a lot of mental health information just to drip feed. So it's not just I'm coming in, then I forget about you for a month. It's just an ongoing support tool. So that's kind of, I don't know if I've answered your question without waffling too much, but it's such a big area with the communication, and everybody needs something different. You know, we're all different. Individuals are individuals. So it's understanding your individuals and how important your workforce are.
Oh, that's a brilliant answer. And what came out of that for me is you mentioned that word. Well, we were just talking prior to going live on this interview about how much of I love Barber as a business, because you guys have bags of personality and you generally care about the customers. Legal compliance is a very fearful subject. You know, people are very scared because of the repercussions. And what I admire the most about Barber is they're very forthcoming with the honesty and their approach to how they manage and provide compliance information to their customers. And that for me is huge. So, I mean, in a nutshell, to support those and which wish to ensure they're legally compliant, how can businesses stay compliant and keep people safe? I know that's quite a broad question. I do apologise, but it'd be interesting to hear your answer.
It's really difficult. It is difficult because my professionals have got three hats. They've got to get out. They've got to be seen to doing something. But then they've got this admin and research hat, and it is changing constantly. The only thing that we've done recently is pull it all together daily. We've done daily news, helplines and things like that, just to give people one place to go rather than going onto .gov. HSC has been good, but hasn't written an awful lot to fill in gaps. So you have different trade associations, as I say, Public Health England, all sorts of other organisations that have written stuff. So compliance, it really is all you can do, really, is just keep up to date, just sit there. Mm-hmm. Wade through all the information, which is why we're scoring a lot of brownie points at the moment. What we've also done is try to make sense of it. So my editors have tried to put a best practice, like technical toolbox talks, technical guides, directors briefings and things, so that it's a quick, sharp piece of information to read that will put it into layman's terms rather than all the legalese. So I think that's been really helpful for people as well, just trying to find those short, sharp nuggets of information.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, this comes up as a question. And the reason why I wanted to ask this question is because we really value your opinion in how health and safety can, because it's a taboo subject, but it's also a bit of a pain in the backside that health and safety perhaps doesn't feature as high on the list of priorities for management teams. I think we can all agree in health and safety is quite frustrating. How do you believe we can make the business case for health and safety in 2021?
You're so right, Paul. I've been doing health and safety for 30 years. Mm. And the business case, pushing health and safety up the ladder is the biggest issue for professionals, because they're not salespeople. They don't have to sell themselves and present it. And health and safety has always been seen as getting in the way of business. You know, you're stopping work. You've got to do this safe. We've got to do this. You're spending money. And of course, the KPIs have always been on accidents. So the less accidents you have, actually, you're looking good. So why do you need more support? Why do you need more money? Why do you need more help? So it's actually a double-edged sword, isn't it? The better you get it if you KPIs are accidents. So the business case is the hardest thing, and my professionals have always struggled with trying to sell the dream up the ladder because of how you're measured and how they want business to work faster. Actually, it's really interesting because so many of my customers and move on because they're sold the dream of interview, then they're not given the support, and then they move on. The recruitment's huge in health and safety. Yeah. But COVID suddenly has given this platform to, like, oh my God, the company can't work without a health and safety professional. So unfortunately, the pandemic has brought opportunities for my professionals, and suddenly we are, the business can't open, whether it's a small company and it's a health and safety professional, an FM, but now we've got to look at traveling to work, reopening of offices, closing them down, risk assessments, home working. There's all sorts of, suddenly, you know, we, if we don't get this right, the company won't be productive. So it's flipped on its head. The only thing I'd say is crowbar in, while you're on this platform, some normal day-to-day health and safety KPIs, because when COVID goes, hopefully won't be too long, is that we don't want to go back down the management ladder. So we've got this springboard to say we need this. The value, there is a quantifiable value to health and safety now for a business, for that CEO. So while we're up there, just weave in some day-to-day OCI health situations. Align with the business. I find my most successful health and safety professionals, they align with the business KPIs and try and crowbar the health and safety initiatives and align with that. They talk the talk. They use the same language. There's so many statistics out there now for the mental health and well-being. A happier workforce is more productive. So use those statistics to actually spin it on its head and present a business case to the value of the company for what health and safety brings, if that makes sense, rather than saving time. They'll say, well, I pay you anyway, you know, it's going to save me time, I've got to do this, I'm an admin, well, I pay you for your work. So if you use that, in fact, I was talking to a client yesterday and we were looking at how we could present health and safety as an opportunity, not just in the COVID, long term, so that we don't, as I say, go back down that management rung.
I'm writing that down. It's brilliant. Present health and safety as an opportunity. It's something we can discuss. You know, it's great to be working with you because, you know, just tapping into your thought process is really helping me direct some ideas for the future and how we get that equality in the boardroom. And it's something I'm on board with. And we're actually thinking of running a CEO safety operation at Global Series and Network soon to try and get the CEOs more involved and present that health and safety case. So wonderful answer that, Teresa, and it gave me lots of really thought-provoking ideas. I'm sure the listeners are thinking the same. And let's flip the conversation a little bit towards, you mentioned happier workforces. I just love that. I love that term, happier workforces. It's something we don't necessarily have, but it's something we're striving to achieve, right? So, you know, what are your ideas around, you know, happier workforces, work harder, ROI accreditations for health and safety? So what are your thoughts around that?
Well, there's two. The accreditations is different to the healthier workforce, happier workforce. So it's quite interesting. Again, the accreditations are being driven by the CEO because there is a return on investment, an obvious one, because they can win tenders. So you've got lots of customers now needing to achieve 45,000 and 14,000 in order to win a tender to create more business. So it's quite important for health and safety professionals to make sure that they do remind the CEO that actually health and safety is providing an opportunity to win more business because of these accreditations. Mm-hmm. One thing, and that's that we can present that as a really good return investment for health and safety because we're doing that. But that then brings all the hardship of trying to keep legal registers up to date. Because once you've got your accreditation, it doesn't go, right, great, tick in the box there, you've got to be audited. And then you, depending on what auditors come in, it depends how rigorous their inspections are. And it's like, oh my God, my legal register, I've got a non-conformity. So be careful what you wish for, because achieving the accreditation suddenly gives you a whole load of pain.
I love your honesty.
So honestly, so we have we've listened to customers. I spend most of my day just chatting to customers. What do you want? And they always want the research and admin to be taken away from their hats. So we've put together legal registers with updates and things like that to try and take away that pain. So that's one side, but it's huge. It's and you can keep your place in the health and safety management team higher up the ladder if you just keep banging on about the accreditations and the value return investment. So that's great. Then the other side is on the workforce. It's been proven there are so many stats. As I say, there's so many reports out there that if somebody is motivated and happy, they will work harder. Now, working harder might not be doing a five-day week, because there's an awful lot of chat about doing a four-day week. But actually, we know that the stats from a couple of companies I've spoken to, they're getting 1 or 2 hours a day more out of each employee by home working. So now the trick is to manage that so we don't get burnout. So again, it's a real keep an eye on everybody. How can we get the most from them without going over and then getting burnout and then, you know, going up like that and then coming down again? And that's the communication, the soft skills to keep your workforce happier.
And I'm assuming that's something you guys at Barbara provide, you know, being able to provide those sort of training on soft skills for HSE leaders to better communicate to their peers and their bosses.
People need to feel they're supported, and not too much, because they don't want to read a great deal. But if you've got a little employee fact sheet, because it's getting the right message to the right person. So your accreditations is great to go up the ladder and sell the return on investment up there, and the managers, and they can all see it. But actually, the employee doesn't see that. That's not a return on investment for them. So if we can get a little employee fact sheet rather than a director's briefing, then sending out a little topic of the month, or us giving health and safety professionals the material so that they can learn and help support soft skills, that will then help them to engage with the workforce, to send out relevant information to them so they feel loved and supported while working at home.
Yeah, wonderful answer. Wonderful answer. It's lovely to get under the bonnet a little bit of Barbara, because, you know, when you check out, you guys do so many things. You know, there's quite a plethora of different solutions that you offer. And it's so nice to have this opportunity to get under the bonnet and learn from you exactly how you can support right now.
I think what we've done over the years is we've learned that people don't want a reference library. The reference library is the tick in the box to keep the accreditations, to keep the company compliant. But and holding tools, the supporting the workforce, the changing the culture and behaviour of people is actually taking more time and effort, and it's the day-to-day job. So if we can give them the tools and a range of toolbox talks, directors briefings, employee fact sheets, that they can rebrand, they can edit, because it's, as the guy I was speaking to yesterday, you know, he says starting up with a blank piece of paper, and this was a consultant actually, starting up with a blank piece of paper, trying to start my presentation with the right message takes ages. It can take half a day. Whereas we can give the right message, they can cut and paste, rebrand it, pretend they've spent hours on it. It just takes away that admin and research time, and they can get back out and do the health and safety job that they're employed to do.
That's wonderful. Well, we'll finish on this question, and then we'll sort of let people know how best to get in contact with Barbara, and of course what the next steps will be. But what is, I guess, your one piece of advice for health and safety managers who are worried about keeping their people safe in 2021? It's a big question, but hopefully you can shine a light on this.
I can wing it, obviously, clearly. keep it up to date with your rules and regulations, because you know at some point we're going to be bitten in the bum with something. There is going to be, I think there's a couple of cases already gone through, but keep your company compliant by keeping up to date. And I know it's awful, but keep up to date with the changes so that you get the right rules and procedures for the right region, the right industry, the right person, so that you are safeguarding the company from any litigation. However, that then needs to be followed with risk assessment. You know, we had a webinar a couple of weeks ago, and Kizzy Augustine said, you know, risk assess, risk assess, risk assess. You know, understand the rules and regulations, read the guidance. Legislation won't tell you how to do it. So the legislation, yeah, great. Keep it, file it, keep it up to date so that your pegs are in order for any audits or anything like that. But lots of guidance. Try and be familiar with trade associations from your industry, which we do provide. We provide over 800 publishers. For the very reason is you want to pick the right publisher for the right situation. So, as I said, there's some really, really good information, COVID guidance, that isn't legislation. So start with that, but then risk assess how that legislation actually affects your company. And if you get the right risk assessment, communicate it out, let people understand what their roles and responsibilities are in that risk assessment, then you have covered all the angles you can do as a health and safety professional or an FM professional, to cover all bases. Now, even if you get that risk assessment wrong, and even if something happens, because we can't, you know, it's changing daily. So we risk assess, we do everything we can, we go out, we see how it affects our company. If we get it wrong, at least we can prove that we did something. There was a documentation that says we did our best to make sure that didn't happen. And risk assess has got to be the way forward. And we love risk assessment. Oh my God, we're British. You know, my risk assess webinars are, you know, thousands. My God, that old chestnut. You know, really? They are so well populated. So do you know what? We've got our opportunity to risk assess. Come on.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, that is awesome. Some really great topics and some great content there for our viewers. And I'm absolutely delighted. This has been one of my favourites, I'm not going to lie, because it's just given me a lot to go. You said you're winging it. I'd hate to see what you come up with when you're prepared. It's absolutely superb. And I know Kizzy really well. So Kizzy's a big supporter of our events and HSE Network as well. So it's nice to, it's quite a tight-knit community, really, especially in the UK. Everybody knows everyone.
Yeah, because Simon was great as well. Simon, Joyston Beckel was, yeah. It was really, really good. And he agreed, you know, so he said, just cover your back, risk assess, but keep up to date with the legislation. So yeah, double-edged sword there.
I love it. Love it. Well, I think that's all we got time for today. And you're on LinkedIn, so Teresa Higgins, Brand Director of Barber EHS. Feel free to connect with Teresa on LinkedIn. But this has been an absolutely wonderful interview. Thank you ever so much for being involved. Thanks for your support of Barber. And like I say, if any of these particular areas are of interest to you, or if there's any sort of bells been rung as a result of the conversation with me and Teresa today, feel free to reach out to me directly. That's Paul Clark from HSE Network and HSE Global Series, and we can connect you in with Teresa and her team to learn a little bit more on how they can support. Been an absolute pleasure, Teresa. Thank you for joining us on HSE Network today, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Another fantastic interview. Our thanks goes out to Teresa and Barbie HS for giving us their time, and we will see you on the next episode of the HSE Network podcast.